This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. How long does it take you to complete the New York Times crossword? A few minutes, probably 10 minutes or more on Monday, or maybe a few days if it's one of those devilish Saturday grids. Well, what if I told you that Dr. Phil, Dr. F-I-L-L, can solve even the gnarliest crossword in just a few seconds? Of course, he's not human, and he doesn't always get the answers right. Dr. Phil is a computer program. Today, you'll hear about how computers are changing the crossword game. They're not just solving puzzles, they're also helping constructors make puzzles. Yeah, did you know that computers make some of those puzzles? Here to talk about it is Will Shortz, crossword editor for the New York Times. Welcome, Will.
Hi, Ira.
Nice to have you on. Matt.
Likewise.
Yes, Matt Ginsberg also joins us. He's a computer scientist, a crossword puzzle constructor, and the brain behind Dr. Phil. Welcome, Matt, to Science Friday.
Thank you. Hi, Ira.
How did you get the idea, Matt, to create a program, Dr. Phil?
I am arguably the world's worst solver, but I had been making puzzles for a while, and I was frustrated that I could never solve them, so I decided I was so terrible at it, I would write a program that would help me out.
And just to let our listeners know, if people are itching to do a crossword, and they always are, we have a custom Science Friday crossword ready for you to solve. It's filled with Science Friday hints. If you listen to the show, you can fill it in. It's at our website at sciencefriday.com/crossword. Will, what makes a person a good crossword solver? What do you have to have?
Well, first thing, you have to be a good speller. It helps to know you have to have a good vocabulary. Helps to know a little about everything. And, you know, from classical subjects, things you learned in school, to older pop culture, to whatever's going on in the world now. And it helps to have a flexible mind, to be able to take a clue, to look at a clue that can be interpreted in multiple ways, and considering different ways that it could be answered. And it helps to have a sense of humor, actually.
Is it cheating to use the internet to fill in the answers?
Well, years ago, one of my predecessors at the Times, Will Wing, said, "It's your crossword, solve it any way you like." And that's my philosophy, too.
Oh, no, I can't agree with that. Yeah, Matt.
So when Will described what it takes to solve a crossword, it's perfect because I have none of those things. I have...
You just demonstrated your sense of humor.
So I did give Dr. Phil the puzzle that you mentioned.
Right.
And it solved it in 5 seconds.
Oof.
It made one mistake, which you're not going to like. One of the clues was Science Friday carrier starting in 2014, and it had never heard of PRI. And it couldn't imagine what it was doing in a puzzle, so it put in PSI, which is PSI.
Right.
Which is reasonable crossword fill. It didn't like PRI, and that caused Homer Simpson to be Holmes Simpson, but it didn't seem to mind that as well.
Well, but you know, the mistake now alerts everybody to PRI, so brings the attention to it. So how does Phil solve a crossword? Does it have a bank of every word in the world and just in its computing do that?
It does have a bank of everything in the world, and PRI is doubtless in it. It's just graded terribly as something that shouldn't be in a crossword. Mm-hmm. And it also has a database of every crossword clue that has sort of ever been used since maybe the 1980s. And it tries to find similarities between the clues and the puzzle and the clues it knows about. And then it just tries to cram the words in a way that, you know, satisfies the fundamental crossword requirement that if two words cross, they have to cross at the same letter. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't know what it's doing. It just sort of stumbles around, but gets pretty good results.
Well, what kind of advantage? There's got to be some advantage a human has in some way in filling in the puzzle.
Yes, a couple of things. First of all, sometimes I will write a clue for New York Times crossword, and I'll say, that clue will kill Dr. Phil, because it's something that maybe everyone knows, but it's worded in a vague way that a computer would have a hard time figuring out if it's not in its database already. And every year at the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament, which I direct and which Dr. Phil has competed in informally 3 times, there's one puzzle with a tricky theme that just has no way to figure out that a human mind can. For example, a couple of years ago, we had one with Boustrephedon writing, which is an ancient form of writing where words start from left to right, and then the next row goes from right to left, then left to right, and right to left, and so on. And as you might guess, that kill Dr. Phil.
Oh, do you have to have a separate category for a computer versus a human in the contest?
Yes, it's in its own category. It's not allowed to win a prize.
I am frustrated every year because there's a prize at the tournament for best penmanship, which I think Dr. Phil should win just away.
How high do you come in with Dr. Phil? How high does he finish in the tournament?
The first year, it was something like 140th out of about 600. It was a little better second year. Last year, it was 65th. And it seems to I get a little smarter, so it gets a little smarter each year, and I'm inching my way up there.
Our number 844-724-8255, talking with Will Shortz and Matt Ginsberg. Are there certain things that do you start with a theme and then fill in? Let me ask it a different way. What does an editor do versus what the composer, person who makes the crossword puzzle, what is the role of you as the editor in the process?
Uh-huh. Well, let me step back and how you make a crossword, and it's exactly the opposite of how you solve one. You start with your theme, if there's long answers that are tied together. You plot your pattern of black squares, you fill in the grid with the best vocabulary you can, and then you write the clues. When you're solving, you look at the clues, you fill in the grid, and then you figure out the theme at the last minute. What I do as editor, I get 75 to 100 submissions a week. They pour in from all over the U.S. and some from Canada. And I select my favorite ones. I edit them. Each puzzle, I think, has a natural level of difficulty. So a Monday puzzle is pretty easy, and it builds up, as you suggested earlier, to really hard on Friday and Saturday. So I slot a puzzle for what I think is its appropriate day. I sometimes fiddle with grids a little to improve them, mm-hmm. but most of the work is on the clues, making sure they're correct. That's number one. And then at the right level of difficulty, then fresh, lively, and as much fun as I can make them.
Can you turn a Monday puzzle into a Saturday puzzle just by changing the difficulty of the clues?
Great question. The answer is yes, but it wouldn't be a good crossword. Because if you're solving along and I've written all these really hard, obscure clues for 3 and 4 letter words, that would be annoying. Not much fun. But I could do it. What I can't do is turn a Saturday puzzle into a Monday puzzle. Because a Saturday puzzle probably has lots of long answers, maybe some difficult words. If it's a difficult word, there's nothing I can do to make it easy.
Mm-hmm. Matt, can Dr. Phil detect the theme of the puzzle?
It tries to. And if the theme, so there are lots of puzzle themes that sort of are repeated. So you might have a puzzle where you replace T's with S's, and Dr. Phil knows about that. And if it says, oh, look, here's a common phrase, but somebody switched a T to an S, and the same thing happens 3 places in the puzzle, it says, aha, I found the theme. And what it actually does, because it's so fast, once it understands the theme, it just throws the whole puzzle out and just starts from scratch knowing the theme and fills it in again.
Wow. Oh. Computers have been beating humans at chess for a long time. What makes a crossword harder for it, Matt?
It's what Will said. It's the fundamental imagination that the constructors bring to the puzzle. One of my favorite puzzles was in the Times a couple of years ago. And one of the clues was Apollo 11 or 12, 180 degrees. And the answer was this gibberish. It was Snuyop something. But if you turned it over, it was moon missions, because all of those letters are still letters when you rotate them 180 degrees. And Dr. Phil can't figure this out. It doesn't know about rotating things. It doesn't know about the physical shape of letters. So this is just a total mystery to it. Hmm. And in that puzzle, it got about half the theme entries right, just because the crossing words forced it to, but it had truly no idea what was going on. Hmm. And that's what makes it hard. When there's something tremendously novel, you know, and Will talks about one unique twist each year at the crossword tournament, and the reason Dr. Phil has trouble with that is because I have never seen a theme like it, and I haven't been able to explain to it, this is something you should look for.
You haven't been sued by the other Dr. Phil yet.
So the answer is no. How's that?
That's good. Will, when did you first notice that computer puzzles were outnumbering handmade puzzles? When did that start happening? Crossover.
Yeah, it's a It's a graduate thing. Back in the years ago, more than 20 years ago, when I was the editor of Games Magazine, I published a crossword that was generated with computer assistance, and that was a novelty. And about 20, 25 years ago, there was actually the playoff puzzle at the tournament that was created by Eric Albert using computer assistance. When I started at the Times in 1993, most of the puzzles were still made the old-fashioned way, by hand, on graph paper. And over the years, the balance has shifted. So overwhelmingly now, the crosswords are made with computer assistance, and there are just a few people making them the old-fashioned way.
Hmm. Let's go to Neil on the phone in Boulder. Hi, Neil. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks a lot. You just stole my question. I was going to ask about how Eric's programs from long ago compared with what's being done now, and you know, kind of what's changed since that time. And did his stuff also solve crosswords, or is that new?
Solving is new. Eric's computer simply helped with creating crosswords. And, of course, his was quite primitive and just had a fraction of the database that modern puzzle makers use. And what puzzle makers do, generally they get a database, and there are some that are available that you can buy from people in the crossword world. And then you personalize it by re-rating the quality of the vocabulary. Maybe kumquat, for whatever reason, has a low rating, and you really want kumquat in your crossword, you think it's a great answer, then you would raise its number, raise its desirability level. Hmm. And if you don't like French words in your crossword, then give all the French words low numbers. And then you also personalize it by finding things in life that aren't in the database yet and entering them. So that's how that's another way that the human element comes into crosswords, even if you use computer assistance.
Just a reminder, if you're joining us, we have a custom Science Friday crossword ready for you to solve. It's at our website at sciencefriday.com/crossword. And we were told, collect some of the clues you want to put in the crossword puzzle. Get the clues that you would like, the answers, rather, that you would like to have. And then we'll construct it around that. So, Matt Ginsburg, how does that happen? I mean, if we put clues in there and the computer figures out all the other pedestrian words, so to speak?
So, essentially what happens is what Will said. I assume that Fred Priskup, who made this puzzle, took the fill that you wanted, the words that you wanted in the puzzle, and basically he scored those words incredibly highly, which told the computer, really try and put these words in the puzzle. And what the computer is doing on the construction side is it's solving this gigantic search problem, where it says, okay, if I put a word in here, can I finish the puzzle or do I get stuck? And if it gets stuck, it says, okay, what if I put this other word in here? And one of the things that changed over the course of the time that computers have been building crosswords, and I actually think the first program is one I wrote in 1976. So over the last 40 or so years, computers have gotten just amazingly faster. And that means that they can do more search, and filling a crossword, if you're a computer, is just a search problem. Hmm. So they've gotten tremendously more effective.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Soon to be in a Science Friday crossword puzzle. You gave away one of the clues.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Those three, yeah, just those three. It's plenty. Matt Ginsburg is a computer scientist and a crossword instructor, and his crossword program is Dr. Phil. Will Short's crossword editor at the New York Times, and he's also Weekend Editions, NPR Weekend Editions, puzzle master. Would you call this big data that the computer is doing?
On the solving side, it definitely is, because what it's got is it's got this huge database of clues, and it looks at a new clue and a new crossword, and it doesn't know what it means. One of the examples I often quote is a five-letter word for one who is rubbed out. And the answer is genie. And,
ooh,
you know, to us, isn't that clever? So to us, that seems really clever. But the computer just looks in its database, and there are all these clues for genies involving rubbing. And they don't involve the particular wordplay of rubbing out. Hmm. But it says, I don't know what's going on, but genies appear to have something vague to do with rubbing, so maybe it's genie. And that's how big data works in general. You can't actually figure out exactly what's going on, But you look for these vague correlations and try and exploit them to solve the problem you're working on.
Well, do you fear the day that computers might make you obsolete at the Times as the editor of the Crossword Puzzle?
No, because there's so many ways that humans come into crosswords. First of all, only a human can come up with an original crossword theme. Only a human knows what an interesting crossword answer is. And only a human can write an original clue. The computer can suggest clues that have been used in past crosswords, but it can't suggest an original one. And I'll tell you, let me go back to what Matt just spoke about. I think he's being a little modest about Dr. Phil. So far, he's only spoken about his database containing past crossword answers and clues. But my understanding is he's also entered dictionaries and other reference works into Dr. Phil's database and the entirety of Wikipedia. So when Dr. Phil is working to solve a crossword, it just has a massive amount of information to sort through.
So he is using the internet for the making it, and we shouldn't be using it to solve it. I know you said that you can do it every way you want to, but it's not cheating making it.
In my own defense, I actually downloaded all of Wikipedia. So when Dr. Phil is solving puzzles at the crossword tournament, it is not connected to the internet.
Okay.
Just as the people are. But Dr. Phil has memorized Wikipedia.
Exactly. Wikipedia is in Dr. Phil's brain.
Wow. That's some competitor. Do you think, though, that in general, computers have changed the quality of the puzzles?
Yes, hugely. First of all, with computer assistance, generally speaking, you can create more interesting crosswords faster. Second, there's now a wonderful online community of crossword constructors, so you can talk with other puzzle makers, get tips from them. Hmm. You can read about what other puzzle makers, what solvers like and what they don't like. Used to be when people sent me puzzles, the only feedback they got was from me. Nowadays, you can go online as a constructor and see what hundreds of other solvers are saying, what they like and what they don't like. And one other thing, used to be when I would edit a puzzle, my resources were my books. And I have a great library, but now I can go online and get interesting clues there, too.
Will Schwartz, thank you very much. Crossword editor of New York Times and Weekend Edition's Puzzle Master, Matt Ginsberg. His crossword solving program is Dr. Phil. Thanks a lot for taking time to do this day. Yeah.
Thank you, Ira.
And we got an article. Go to our website at sciencefriday.com/crossword to do our own puzzle.